What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We'll get to the John Mechie trade here in a second. We'll get to the Astros this segment as well. We'll serve the audience what they want. Apparently, CJ Stroud wearing a Mariners hat is a trending topic still, so we'll acknowledge that. Real quick, Seth, to back up your point about Texans offense, first team offense particularly, this year in the preseason versus last year in the preseason to this point, I'll credit Texans Jacob on this. Really good follow the day after games or after, might be the same day. He's got some really good summaries of Pro Football Focus numbers and advanced stats and things like that. Really good, very helpful. This time last year, the Texans had a 28.6% pressure rate, and Damian Pierce, who was the RB1 at the time because Mixon was hurt, was averaging 1.1 yards per carry. This preseason, Nick Chubb is averaging 5 yards per carry. Granted, it was this one game, but the pressure rate is only 11%. There was very little pressure on CJ Chubb. Most of it, he was getting the ball out pretty quick, for sure.
And that's another thing that I think that Kaylee's done a good job of is really working the quick passing game. And you could look at that two ways. I think we really haven't seen a high-flying aerial assault downfield during training camp. And you could look at that and start to wonder, okay, do they actually have that in their bag? Or you could look at it and say, well, they want to be able to move the ball, you know, consistently downfield and set up those shot plays. We just haven't really seen a whole lot of the actual shot plays. So maybe it's maybe they're just holding a little bit in reserve, or maybe they tried to take a shot to Nico on a 3rd-and-2.
An accurate throw. We're having a different conversation.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the play, it was set up perfectly. It was exactly what you want to do. You got to 3rd-and-2, puts the defense in a bind. Really tough to, you know, it's hard to cover all the deep balls, but also stop the offense from getting a first down.
Yeah, man coverage on your best guy.
Right.
Double move.
Everything was working out the way it planned, except that CJ didn't realize that the field is only 53.5 yards wide.
That's right.
He thought he was playing on a Canadian field.
It landed on the
sideline. He said that after the game, which I had never really, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. He said that when you get in the game, it just, the field seems a little bit bigger.
Compared to practice, yeah.
So I guess, It's kind of like when you go play a basketball game in a football stadium, you know, at the national championship. It just screws up your sight lines.
I can see that. I could definitely see that.
I don't want to hear it in the regular season.
No. Yeah. Well, especially if it costs you a game. I mean, you won 20-3 in this one. And you scored a touchdown on the very next drive, thrown to the same guy. John Mechie traded to the Eagles yesterday. The Texans get tight end Harrison Bryant.
Yes.
I didn't realize this. He was a Mackey Award winner in college. He was a really good college tight end on the same team that Azeez Alshire was on at FAU. And the Eagles get John Mechie. The two teams, in one of the most odd things in a trade, the picks that got exchanged in the C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kenyon Green trade, they just gave them back to each other as part of this trade.
And this trade makes a lot of sense from the Texans' perspective. You take a position group that's jam-packed, and you know, so you send away John Mechie. And then you bring a guy into a position, the tight end group, that just had an injury with Brevin Jordan. You know, not quite sure who's going to be your third tight end. But from the Eagles' standpoint, it doesn't make quite as much sense because they've got a lot of wide receivers as well.
Yeah.
But for the Texans, I think it just makes perfect sense. I'm cool with it. I'm not expecting Harrison to come in here and be the next Gronk or something. But he's a capable blocker. The Browns back in the day made him. Like a trick play QB sneak specialist.
Oh, yeah?
For a few plays.
Okay. I remember he had a big catch and run against the Texans a couple of years ago. Might have been in the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. They need a third tight end right now. Irv Smith, we should point out, had a really good game on Saturday. He did some good things. So we'll see what happens.
I'm having a hard time with Harrison Bryant's name because isn't the kind of name that sounds
two
like
two first names? Man.
No. It sounds like it should be somebody. You're like, Harrison Bryant. He's a Hall of Fame baseball player, isn't he? Or something like that. It feels like, how do I know that?
No.
He's just a run-blocking tight end.
He's a tight end who's maxed out at 250 yards receiving in a season, yeah.
He's had 20 plus receptions a few times. In his career.
Yeah. He's made a few plays here and there. I think ultimately, so John, we closed the book on John Mechie and the, you know, second round pick. They moved up to get him back in 2022, and then we know what happened with John Mechie. Got cancer his rookie year, came back, and never really. I mean, I don't think I'm being unfair. Never really reached the point that they expected him to reach when they drafted him. We don't know how much of that had to do with his career getting off to a slow start because of his medical condition. I think ultimately, when people bring up John Mechie's name in Houston, he will be remembered for getting back on the field after suffering from cancer.
Right. And I mean, that part of it still remains a great story, whether he's with the Houston Texans or not.
He would have probably needed to be a Pro Bowler for that to not be the thing you remember him most for. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's impressive.
Yeah, and he's a classic, does everything the right way, great guy, et cetera, et cetera. But it is what it is. And we've been talking pretty pragmatically about this entire preseason that they've at the back end of that wide. When you draft two wide receivers who are 100% going to make the team and who look good so far, that some of these guys are going to have to go.
And bring in Justin Watson in free agency and Braxton Berrios in free agency. The message was clear. They felt like they needed to upgrade that wide receiver.
And Berrios can do things for you as a returner that Mechie just simply cannot.
Yep, no doubt. Even though they tried. He's been back there returning kicks at times this preseason. So I wish John Mechie the best. The Texans don't play the Eagles this year, so his interests do not intersect with our interests. How many more trades you think? I'm gonna put the over under
seven.
Between now and the end, between now and the end of training camp or the cutdown day, I'm gonna put it at 1.5.
There's still a few positions. The running back position could get interesting because that's where also. I mean, a lot of people in the league these days are looking at running back as just. All right, there's a few guys that are really, really worth it, and then after that, it's just a commodity.
Yeah.
We'll pick somebody up at the trade deadline, or we'll pick somebody up at the final cuts or what have you, or we'll trade.
I don't think Nick's done yet.
No.
They've got guys on the roster that should be on NFL rosters that will not be on this one.
And there's linebackers, too.
Yep.
There's a good chance that one of the linebackers gets traded away.
Yes.
So I'd put it at 1.5.
1.5.
And I think they might trade for a cornerback at some point.
There you go. Okay, yeah, so it's 1.5. I might put the number 2. So you're going over? Are you going over on 1.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, too. I think 2 or 3 trades. I think Nick's not done yet. By the way, Nick Caserio joins us tomorrow at 7:30 on the program. So
then he can tell us then how many trades he's going to make.
Sure, he'll say, how many trades are you going to make? He'll say 3, of course.
Remember the one time I demanded that he trade for a cornerback?
I thought about that when I was.
And then he did, didn't he?
He picked one up. If I recall, I don't know if he traded.
I remember
for
saying
one.
You're welcome to the fan base. I don't remember what the transaction was.
I forget what it was too, but I seem to remember.
Listen, everybody, if I had to try to count up all my wins, I wouldn't have any space for anything else up there in this noggin of mine.
That's exactly right.
And I've got a pretty big head.
It's a big noggin.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots. He scores.
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So the Astros, man, they went 3-3 on this homestand. Okay, they played three against the Reds.
Right, hey,
3-3, and Seth, I don't know if you've looked.
Even keel.
They're a game and a half up in the AL West.
How could you be possibly worried after going 3-3? That's baseball. Yeah,
3-3. That's baseball.
Yeah,
I've never
what
seen
was the run differential.
I've never seen anything like this before. So the three wins were 7-6, 4-1, and 5-4 in 12 innings on a game winning fielder's choice.
Yeah.
That's plus 5. Yeah.
Okay.
The three losses.
Yeah, let me hold that up.
14-1.
That's 13.
7-0.
Okay, almost let me do the math. 7.
Almost a perfect game. And then yesterday, 12-0, the final score.
Hold on, let me do that math. Well, the math is so easy on that.
Yeah.
So they had a 27. They were minus 27 on the
total. Yeah, for the sum total, minus 32 in the losses, plus 5 in the wins, and then, when they were 3-3.
Yeah.
Chaz McCormick pitched twice in a 6-game homestand,
uh-huh.
And they're 3-3 in this homestand. This does not bode well for health. This does not bode well for this iteration of the Astros. But Jordan's coming back soon.
Look.
I'm clutching my pearls.
The pitchers who were coming back, we knew there was going to be there's some luck and chance involved in that. I was, optimistically thinking that of Javier, of Garcia, of Arrigetti. If two of those three guys can be just themselves, like the best version of themselves when they come back, hey, we're sitting in a standing in high cotton,
yeah,
whatever the hell that phrase is.
Yep.
But I did not anticipate Fromber turning into whatever the hell he's been doing.
Fromber's got senioritis.
You think he's just getting distracted?
He's got big contract year senioritis. Well, he leads the league in pitch clock violations.
Yeah.
That's a senioritis thing.
Totally.
He forgot to back up home plate when it was still a game.
Yeah.
In the game he pitched this weekend. That was the 7-0. Now look, the Astros had an infield single, and that was the entirety of their offense on I think it was on Friday when that happened. It wasn't all Fromber, but he forgot to back up home plate. That allowed another run to score. And he's got some weird comments he's making now. Remember that comment he made?
He's starting to sound a little bit passive aggressive.
He had that comment about how the outfield was positioned in that one game where it allowed, I forget if it was the game-winning run or a pivotal run. And then after Friday's game, he was asked about not backing up home plate. He said, I felt like I should have been back there. I 100% blame myself for that. I feel like the game should have been 2-0. But I can't control the fly balls that they hit. I can't control the throws. I can't control the other fundamental parts of baseball. But I 100% blame myself for not being back there. He was like, man, if I'm going down, y'all are coming with me. I didn't back up home plate, but guess who else couldn't do anything? The hitters, the fielders, the people that needed to throw the ball around the diamond.
My husband cannot throw and catch the ball.
Yes, he went Giselle on everybody.
He
went full Giselle. Yeah,
so he's gonna be dating some woman that teaches Pilates. Whatever the equivalent would be
of jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Yes.
So Fromber in his last three games has allowed 12 earned runs.
Okay,
got an ERA of 5.89. It's not as bad. I mean, it's not the worst thing that ever happened. But it's just
5.89.
It's in three straight games. In the first of those three games, there was a little bit of bad luck and weirdness. There was one bad inning, really.
Well, they've lost his last four outings.
They've lost four, yeah. But it wasn't.
The first one, he was really good.
The last
three, he's not been good.
That's where, like when he had that streak where the Astros had won every game every game that he had
they
played.
They won every game he pitched for 13 games.
But that's still, it was weird. It felt kind of janky. That's not the way you actually keep track of it with pitchers. It's the last three games where it's just been a mess.
It's been horrible.
And as you said, he's a pending free agent, and it just looks like all of his old worst things that we thought he'd gotten out of his system, his erratic nature at times. I don't know. It just seems in this moment when we need him most, he's disappeared.
Yep,
it's like when Batman decides to take a vacation.
That's right. He was our superhero.
Yeah.
For a while.
We've got the Fromber. We've got the Grasa. The beacon shining up at the sky, and he's just ignoring it.
We've got that version of Superman that decided to give up his superhero powers in Superman 2.
To Mary Lois.
So he could boink Margot Kidder. What are you doing, man? You gave up bullets bouncing off of yourself for that?
It's kind of a metaphor, though, for becoming a real human, is then you get to that age where you realize, okay, sex isn't all that it's cracked up to be.
Right.
I should
probably
stop.
Maybe this is
I
the
should
best
probably
I'm
stop
do.
Doing really stupid things in my life for the sake of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, giving up superhero powers. This is about the amount of time that I want to spend on CJ wearing a Mariners hat, I suppose. What did you think when CJ walked into the building with a Mariners hat?
My first thought was, I'm surprised that they put that on social media.
Could be that whoever was doing that didn't even know it was a Mariners.
No, it didn't from a distance. When I saw people saying that it was a Mariners logo, I was like, I don't know. I thought maybe it's a dollar sign or something. I mean, it's a stupid logo. We all agree on that.
Or we know that the social media people get probably comped on engagement.
Yeah.
And that was as engaging as anything was going to be with him walking into the building.
But then he got up in the post game wearing it too. So I would love to put it on the social media people, but then he stood at the podium for 12 minutes with it on. This is gonna require nuance, which means everybody's gonna be pissed off.
Yeah, good job.
What are you gonna play, CJ?
I was gonna play him talking about it, but go ahead if you want.
No, go play that.
Okay, here's CJ when he was asked about it in the post game.
I love hats. Like, I wear hats all the time. I probably have every team, but I support the Astros and the Dodgers because I'm from LA and love. It's kind of contradicting, but I still love the Astros. But it's all good. I understand, but. It's all about the swag, baby. I'm just kidding.
Well, so in print, that just sounds, you know, in print, that doesn't look good. And I think that fuels some of the people being
upset
about it.
Some of the print that
it.
I saw did say, they actually quoted
the swag.
They put the I'm just kidding after it.
Oh, they did.
Yeah,
oh, good,
a couple of places I saw, yeah.
But you know, there's a bunch of people that
they
didn't
did
put
not,
that part.
Course.
I'm all about the swag.
Yeah, of course.
This is one of those things where I wouldn't have thought anything of it because I just kind of, I think that's, when it comes to fashion choices of young men and whatever, however they wear other teams or whatever, I just don't think about it all that much.
Yeah.
I try not to care about it. And yet, there's going to be a portion of the fan base that's going to be irate about it. And this is one of those things I feel like not talking about a perfect game or not talking about a no-hitter, I think it's dumb. But I'm like, but at the end of the day, fine. If it gets people worked up, I'm just not going to do it. I just don't feel. So with CJ, I feel like there's a part of it where you think, you might really feel like it's genuinely no big deal. And yet, if a lot of people are going to get worked up about it, just don't do it. You know, like, personally, I'm not offended by it. But also, just moving forward, you might be like, all right, well, people are going to get worked up
about
it.
I think this is a fair question. Do you think CJ even knows that the Astros are in a dogfight with the Mariners right now? Do you think he follows baseball that closely?
I don't think closely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a chance he didn't
know. I don't think he's super. I haven't ever heard him really like talk.
Ian, I'm just saying, is there a chance? He may look at the standings every day for all I know. I'm just saying, like, you know, in terms of all the possibilities,
yeah.
If we're pointing out maybe what we think is a lack of self-awareness in putting the Mariners hat on, I would say that there's a decent percentage chance he has no idea the Astros are in a dogfight with the Mariners for the division right now. Maybe he doesn't follow baseball all that close.
Right.
To that degree. I mean, yeah. The Dodgers are the team he grew up watching, you know?
I think that's the part of it. If you find yourself angry about it, just to think of it that way, that it is, it's, if a guy's just making a fashion choice based on logos or whatever.
He's not trolling the Astro fans.
No. He definitely wasn't trolling.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. He very specifically wasn't showing support for the Mariners or anything. That's the part.
He likes the hat.
Yeah, he just likes the hat.
Yeah.
That's where the gap is. Whereas I try not to, I just genuinely don't think about it or care about it. And yet I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of everybody that does seemingly think and care about it.
I'm mad at how much time people spent on this weekend.
Yeah.
Either being emotional on one side or explaining to everybody why it was okay. Like, who cares?
This is so there's the other part of it too, where on some level, because people say, well, it's just black. It's just like it's a black thing or it's a white thing or whatever. I don't know. He wouldn't wear another NFL team's logo in.
I wouldn't think so.
Right? That would become a big deal. So we never see that.
Yeah.
So there's room for, wait a second. All right. Well, you can't just give carte blanche and say it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
If they're still making decisions based on loyalties to at least your own team, they're not just doing other teams' logos. I don't know.
Yep. And thus ends the Seattle Hatgate right here.
Does it, though?
Pendergast. We'll see.
I think I was trying to figure out. I think it's like 3% of people are actually genuinely angry about it. What's the text line say?
Okay. I'll check during the break. Let's get to some headlines here coming up next. We'll circle back to the Texans in their game. We'll get to the injury news with the Astros. Actual good news on the injury front with a little bit of bad news, but I think some good news that could really help on the offensive side of things. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.